Well, with all the things that are happening around the world, All Things Apostolic has some good news today. Stay tuned. Well, a big welcome to you on this Monday morning, May the 20th, to All Things Apostolic. What a great Monday. What a great Monday this is. Most of us around here are a little bit, we have a little bit of hangover. Because yesterday, Sunday, May 19th, was Pentecost Sunday. And we had Pentecost Sunday. So we're very excited about it. We thank God for what he accomplished yesterday and what he set in motion yesterday. And we're going to talk about it a little bit today and see if we can't see this begin to just be like a wave going across America and beyond. So thank you for stopping by and being with us. We're glad you're here on All Things Apostolic. This is a great day for you to be with us because we have a great report. So here's what happened. For years, we have talked about, and part of my hangover today is my voice, and I may look a little haggard because we had high church yesterday, and we had it till very late, and we had it very rigorously. So today we're all a little bit hungover. So anyway, for years now, we have talked about here at home, we have talked about in our local church here that Pentecost Sunday, we're wasting Pentecost Sunday. You know, there is no Baptist Sunday or Methodist Sunday or Catholic Sunday or Seventh-day Adventist Sunday or you know, whatever there is Sunday. But there is a Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after Easter, 50 days after the resurrection. This is all set from the Old Testament feast that they had. They had the seven feast of Jehovah, and one of them, the most popular of them all, probably for attendance, people coming to Jerusalem, was Pentecost Sunday. And of course, in the Old Testament, when they knew that it was Pentecost Sunday was 50 days after the previous feast, they didn't know that that the Holy Ghost was going to fall on Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost simply means 50, and they didn't know that it was going to fall 50 days later, after the resurrection of Jesus. He was the feast of first fruits that rose from the dead, like crops, agriculture, like crops growing. He was the first fruits. And then the Bible says there'll be others, including us, in their own order. That will come later. But he's the first fruits. So 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus comes Pentecost Sunday. So that was yesterday. And every year it's on the calendar, not just our calendar, but it's on most everybody's calendar, but that is Pentecost Sunday. Well, on Pentecost Sunday, Pentecostals ought to be doing something to take advantage of the fact that it's a day that everybody in America that reads their calendar knows that it's Pentecost Sunday. So Pentecost Sunday celebrates the coming of the Pentecostal experience. The reason it's called Pentecostal is because it happened on the day of Pentecost of this Jewish feast. And it happened when they were at Jerusalem celebrating this Jewish feast. And the Holy Ghost fell there. And that was the inception. It's the birthday. Celebrating Pentecost Sunday is having a happy birthday party. It's the birthday of the Christian church. Most any Christian church, regardless if it's called Christian, regardless of denomination, will concede that the Christian church started on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. So now, there's many of them that would tell you that what happened that day is no longer available for us. But a Pentecostal church would tell you, of course, what happened then is still available for you because we're in the same church age. Nothing's ever changed. And that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like they did in the book of Acts, as recorded in chapter 2 and numerous other places. So so the day of Pentecost and a Pentecostal church really go hand in hand. They match up because it's a celebration, a birthday party. So yesterday we had that birthday party, but for years we talked about celebrating Pentecost Sunday in a special way at our Pentecostal church, but we never really did it. I mean, we'd preach about it and that this is Pentecost Sunday and God will give you your personal Pentecost if you would like to have it. We did all that. But we never figured out how do we get the Pentecostal message on Pentecost Sunday to our community and to people in the region and beyond. So yesterday is the first time that we've really done that on with a lot of intentionality and planning and prayer and preceding preparation. Yesterday was the first time. And Pastor Young and his wife and the team worked very hard and did a great, great, great job. The church came together and did a great job of preparing for this day. So what happened is there was a number of churches in the area that came together with us for Sunday night. Some of them don't even have Sunday night service, so it was not like some big problem. And they came together with us. And so on Sunday night, this is last night, there was about 2,000 in service there. And without exaggerating, maybe there was a few more, I don't know. But it was around 2,000. We know pretty much what the building will seat. And it wasn't full, but it was just about full. And when it's full, it will seat 2,400. So anyway, this was it was a great crowd of people. And there were scores of people that wanted the Holy Ghost that had never received the Holy Ghost. People just came out of the woodwork. And so yesterday, 161 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost by 11 o'clock Sunday night. We had personally counted 161 people that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, this isn't some kind of hyperbole. We know that there's churches that have done this in the past or made claims of big numbers receiving the Holy Ghost, and really there was people that came to get the Holy Ghost but maybe didn't really receive it, and it was questionable. This has happened over and over throughout time. But I can assure you, that's not what happened here, because we have a whole team of people. You know, someone who prays with someone who's seeking the Holy Ghost is kind of like a midwife. You're going to be born again of the Spirit, and they kind of help them in the process and encourage them and worship together with them and walk with them as far as they can towards these people receiving the Holy Ghost. Nobody can receive it for you, but they can walk with you in your worship and help to create an atmosphere of worship and praise and expectation and faith. So so these people sometimes are called altar workers. Sometimes they are called midwives. Sometimes they are called people with a ministry of helping pray people through with the Holy Ghost. And we have a pretty good number of those people, a fairly large number of those people in the church. So so they were prepared and they were ready. And Mark Dross, evangelist Mark Dross, was with us. Mark Dross, his father was a very close, dear, personal friend of mine for a number of years. He's passed on now, but he was one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the apostolic movement. And he broke into El Salvador years ago when tens of thousands of people got the Holy Ghost. He also went to several other nations and thousands got the Holy Ghost. He ended up in Mexico for the last number of years of his ministry, and tens of thousands of people have received the Holy Ghost there. I preached one meeting there in which I don't know how many hundreds of people received the Holy Ghost back when he was still leading that work. He dedicated himself to Mexico City for the last number of years of his life. I don't know, maybe 12, 15, maybe even up to 17 years he was there. In that city, he died in that city. And in that city, when he passed away, from the time he started to the time he left, there was 100 new apostolic churches in Mexico City as a result, personal result of the ministry, personal ministry of Windross. That's Mark Dross' father. And so Mark is an evangelist. He is the youngest son of Windross, whose father, Windross' father, was Bill Dross, who was the missionary that broke Colombia many years ago, and tens of thousands of people got the Holy Ghost there. It's a great story. There's a book about Bill Dross, Bill Dross the Pentecost, and the way he got that name. This is a grandfather of Mark that preached here last night. The way Bill Dross, his grandpa, got that name in Colombia is he went into a mental hospital for the insane. And was walking in there with someone that they wanted him to come and visit and pray for somebody. While he's walking down the hallway, a man who was not associated with him in any way and was not the man they were going to pray for, but a man in there that was in the mental hospital, he was walking by, and the man looked up and saw him and said, "Bill Dross, the Pentecost." And he Bill Dross had never seen this man in his life. And so he became called Bill Dross the Pentecost. This is Mark Dross that preached here last night, his grandpa. And in Colombia, there was a great breakthrough. The story is incredible. His life was threatened many times. He actually, they feel like he actually died underwater one time, and God revived him, and he was shot, and all kinds of things. But he was a strong and courageous and bold man, and he broke through there. And then he also broke through in some other countries and ended his missionary ministry in Spain. And I think he's buried in Spain. So this is a great missionary family. So Mark Dross, our pastor, Miles Young, and his father, Curtis Young, who was the missionary leader in Louisiana for 20 years for the United Pentecostal Church. Mark Dross, as a boy, him and his two brothers, lived with the Youngs and went to school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana with them. And so there's close family ties there, and the boys were raised for a period of time together. So Mark Dross and Miles Young have been together for many years. So anyway, Brother Dross came last night, and he had his wonderful daughter with him, and he preached, and what a incredible job he did of leading people to the altar and showing them very kindly what God had for them. It was a masterpiece, and then he organized them. There was a time of repentance. And very methodically, he said, "Okay, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost." He explained how the Holy Ghost comes and did as good a job as I've ever heard. And so then he instructed them, "Okay, let's worship the Lord. Let's see what happens. God's going to give people the Holy Ghost." And the Holy Ghost started falling so quickly all over that place. It was absolutely amazing. And as somebody would receive the Holy Ghost, they would raise the one we're praying with them would raise their hand so that we really knew when someone was receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, I personally prayed with a number of these people, so there's no question whether they received the Holy Ghost. This is not some flim-flam. Why would we be interested in that? And so these people that received the Holy Ghost, some of them, they were so excited. The one that received the Holy Ghost that came from the furthest for the great revival service was from Dubai in the Emirates, in in the Middle East. And so he received the Holy Ghost. He actually received it that morning, and it was a tremendous, blessed experience transformed. He actually came from Dubai saying, I'm coming on the Pentecost Sunday because I want the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost that Sunday. He came. He never got to Sunday night. He was there for service, but he didn't get there without the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost Sunday morning. So there was, and one of the largest churches, there was another couple there that they were very hungry for God. And so they went to one of the largest churches in the Sacramento area, and they found out that these people wanted the Holy Ghost. And they so this largest church, great people, but largest church, not Pentecostal, they said, well, if that's what you want, you need to go to the Rock Church in Elk Grove. So we thought that's pretty cool. And they're right. They come to the Rock Church. And so this lady received the Holy Ghost, and she was so enthused. She said, I found my home. I found my church. They were that was Sunday morning. And Sunday night, they were sitting on the front row. So the other 159 received the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. So what an incredible day. I mean, it's worth having a rough voice and being a little bleary on Sunday morning. And so with us, together, this wasn't just the Rock Church. This included North Highlands with Pastor Mark Ollivan, who had some there that came and received the Holy Ghost. And then the church in Roseville, the Rock Church North, with Pastor Anthony Pizarro. I know they had at least one that received the Holy Ghost in that service Sunday night. And then the church in Winters with Pastor Caesar Lua had three receive the Holy Ghost, and two got baptized last night. And then the church in Turlock with Pastor Casey Sees, two received the Holy Ghost from there that came last night. And then Elk Grove China Rock, it is a Chinese rock church, last night had two more receive the Holy Ghost. They've been having a revival over there, and a number of people received the Holy Ghost in the last 90 days, and here's two more that received the Holy Ghost. And then the Rock Church Sierras with Pastor Boston Young, they had a new one receive the Holy Ghost last night. And then there's a brand new work that Dean and Karen Anderson have started in Williams, California. Brand new. I mean, they just went up there red, raw, and running, so to speak. Nothing there. And begin to knock on doors. And so last night, there was a fine young woman who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost from Williams and got baptized last night. So it ends up that, and then La Roca is a Spanish work, the Rock Church, Spanish, one of them. And La Roca had several receive the Holy Ghost and get baptized yesterday. And all of these people were in the services last night. On top of the 161 that received the Holy Ghost, 23 got baptized. So that was a great thing also. And many other things. There were, here's one, Rosarito, with Pastor Peyton and London Bradford. They joined the service online where we could see them and they could see the service going on in the Rock Church Sanctuary. And it's a new work, and they've had several receive the Holy Ghost, but this is the first time they had three receive the Holy Ghost in one service. So online, we could see them shouting, and they could see us shouting. And they were worshiping God, and three brand new people received the Holy Ghost, and then there were two other people that were coming back to God that got a renewal. It was a great, with five people that just kind of like added to the church. And so so that was great. So all of those were there. And so next year, we figure this thing could be even bigger. We anticipate that it will come to where we actually have to use the Memorial Auditorium downtown, and then maybe beyond that at some point. So so it's a great thing. It's a great thing. We hope you had the same thing. Now, actually, Mark Dross, Saturday night, between Saturday night and yesterday, I believe I'm not mistaken here, I believe he preached 5 services. I do know that on Saturday night in Clovis, California, he had 20-something get the Holy Ghost in a new church there. And then on Sunday morning in Stockton, Spanish Apostolic Church with Pastor John Shivers, he had 64 or 65 get the Holy Ghost there. These people, they took advantage of Pentecost Sunday. And then last night we had 161 receive the Holy Ghost. That's real people. That's real. You know, all of those, when you hear those numbers and you hear people say, well, they really get the Holy Ghost. They really got the Holy Ghost. And I've had the Holy Ghost for like 65 years. I think I know when somebody gets the Holy Ghost and when they don't. And there's many other people in our church that have been in Pentecost for many decades. And they all have a good awareness of when people are getting the Holy Ghost and when they're not. And so rather than try to find a way to discount it, why don't we try to find a way to duplicate it to whatever scale we are in our particular city? And any way we can help to do that, we would be glad to do that. We want to see that happen. Rather than say, well, I don't know, rather than to diss what happened here, or rather to give excuses why it's not happening where we're at. There are 2 things that I found out over the years. One is that the knowledge of how to do these things is revelatory. It's revelatory. But the other good thing is the knowledge of the how to do these things is transferable. And the whole, it's a spiritual thing. It's not just a cognitive listening to somebody tell you how to organize. It's a cognitive and affective thing. It's a head and heart thing, where that's why we call it revelatory knowledge. It's not just reading a book or listening to somebody tell you about it, but it's you that have the Holy Ghost, you understand what I'm talking about. But it's assimilated, there's an osmosis aspect to it. It's assimilated into the human spirit. And we want to see this happening and occurring in churches all over America. So the challenge is, you've got churches that are old and they're stayed in their ways and they're living in the past to a great extent. They may have had great days in their past. So you as a pastor are saying, what can I do about that? Well, there's something you can do about it. You can do it, but it takes courage. And it takes patience, and it takes spirituality, and it takes a intense focus on your local church. You got to care about this thing. It can't just be something that, you know, it's your job to make it survive. You got to care about the growth. You got to care about those people coming into the great richness that's involved in living for God. And there's much more we could say about this. There's much more we'd like to say about this. Also, I'd already started talking about something last week that I was going to continue this week, but we will continue that also. All right. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.